tonight, if you remember to bring them, you can pull out the outline that we were going to use today, because this will be the lesson that we'll be covering this evening together. I want to say, first of all, before we get into the lesson, that I really appreciate so much again the many prayers that have been prayed on our behalf while we were gone and the service that you had, and appreciate the desire to want to have the service this coming Tuesday night to thank God for the blessing that He has bestowed upon us, and to pray for those people that are still struggling down there in Haiti. And I want to encourage and challenge all of us to never take anything that God has blessed us with for granted. Don't take anything that we have for granted, because we are such a blessed people. And tonight the lesson title is Prayer in the Face of Death. And if you have your Bibles and would like to open them, you can open them to Genesis chapter 32. We're going to be studying verses 9 through 12 this evening, and analyzing the things that we find there in this particular text, and looking at some of the elements and the components of these four passages of Scripture, these four verses. But, you know, when you're faced with the prospects of death, there may be some things that you would like to say to your Heavenly Father. And that's why I wanted to open up by saying we don't need to take for granted any opportunity that we have during the day to thank God for the things that we have. We shouldn't wait till things look dire before we begin turning to God and thanking Him or talking to Him. But certainly, if you have an occasion where things are uncertain and there are problems, well, certainly the one to turn to is our Heavenly Father. And so, when faced with the prospects of death, there may be some things that you would like to say to your Heavenly Father. And I know that we spent some time in prayer as we were getting ready for the hurricane to hit there in Haiti. And although we felt safe, we also know that at times unfortunate things can happen. And so you're just not given the promise of another day on this earth. And so we need to take advantage of those opportunities. We did feel safe. But while we were waiting for the hurricane to hit, and as we had a little bit of time because we had sent some of the preachers back to a safe area and they were not there for the seminar, we had time to think, we had time to pray, and we had time to write some things, and we had time to read the Scriptures. And as I mentioned this morning, I began reading in the book of Genesis. I started Genesis chapter 1 again, and I started reading because I had a little bit of time as we were waiting and as the winds were beginning to pick up, and just began to read the Bible and to get back into some of those stories that we are so familiar with. And we had been praying, and as I came to Genesis chapter 32, and as I was reading there, it dawned on me that many of the things that I was thinking as I was praying were some of the very things that Jacob said in his prayer. Well, I want us to look at the background to our text in Genesis chapter 32. You remember the situation with Jacob and his brother. You know that Jacob deceived his father, and he took the blessing from his brother Esau. He had already taken his birthright. Esau had sold that a while back, and the Scriptures record that he despised that birthright. And there may be several things that you could think about concerning that, but he had given that birthright away to his younger brother. And now we find that Jacob has deceived his father, and he's taken the blessing that Esau was supposed to receive at the hands of his father. And so, having found out that there was no blessing for Esau like there was for Jacob, although Isaac did bless him and did give him a blessing, the majority of the blessing went to the younger brother. And having known that that was gone, and he had now lost not only his birthright, but he had lost the blessing, the Scriptures record in Genesis chapter 27 and verse 41 that the time of my father's mourning are at hand. That's what Esau is saying. The time of my father's mourning are at hand. In other words, Dad's getting close to death. He's about to die. And when he dies, I am going to kill my brother Jacob. Now, of course, you remember that Rebekah overhears this. And she quickly goes to Jacob and says, I want you to go out of this place. Your brother wants to kill you because of this deception. And she goes to Isaac and she says, I don't want Jacob to take a wife from the daughters of these people. I want him to take a wife from my people. So send him away. And this was her way of offering salvation to Jacob and keeping him out of the hands of his brother who wanted so desperately to kill him. Now, Jacob's coming home. Jacob has spent 20 years in the land of Padan Aram with Laban, his father-in-law, the brother of Rebekah. He has served 14 years for his two wives, and he served an additional 6 years for the cattle and the things that Laban had allowed him to have as he grew his family and as he grew his property and his wealth. And so now, because Laban had changed his wages 10 times, and because Jacob realized that the countenance of Laban was not towards him as it had been in the past, he's ready to uproot his family and take them back to the promised land, the land of Canaan, which is going to be his as an inheritance, and his descendants, because God has promised that. So he's ready now to go home. Now, as he's coming home, certainly thoughts of his last encounter with his brother were hanging on his mind. Even after 20 years, he wasn't sure about the response of his brother. And so as he's entering the land of Canaan, he sends an emissary to his brother to say that your brother Jacob is coming. And so they come back to Jacob. And they say, your brother Esau's coming to meet you. And he's coming with 400 men. Now, I don't know about you, but probably based off of our history, based off of what has been already said, I'd be a little nervous. What about you? He's threatened to kill me, and now that he realizes I'm on my way back into the country, he's coming out to meet me with 400 men. Jacob thought that prayer was in order, because he truly believed that his brother still wanted to take revenge on him and still wanted to kill him. And so as we open up our Bibles to Genesis chapter 32, this is the prayer that Jacob prays as he is having this washed through his mind. As it is washing through his mind that my brother may be coming to kill me, here is what he does. He's going to set his people and his property in order. He's going to make sure that he puts several hundred of the different types of livestock he has out in front of him so that he can offer those as a gift to his brother. Then he's going to order his family and he's going to put his wives and his children there at the back with him so that they can be protected. That way, once Esau comes to this livestock and to this gift that Jacob's offering, if he sees that he has ill intent, they might be able to flee and escape. And so he has set things up so that they can get away, perhaps. But he's going to go to God in prayer about this. And this is his prayer. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, return to your country and to your kindred, that I may do you good. I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two camps. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me, the mothers with the children. But you said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. That is his prayer. When he's afraid for his life, when he's afraid for his family's life, here's what he prays. Prayer in the face of death. Now, what I want us to do is I want us to look at this prayer, and I want us to analyze it, and you'll be able to pick out the components and the elements of prayer that need to exist in our prayers even today. today, and we'll mention a passage of Scripture towards the end. To begin with, though, Jacob's beautiful prayer included praise. It included praise. You look at Genesis chapter 32 and verse 9, and what's the first thing that he says here? O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your kindred that I may do you good. The first thing that he's going to do when he bows down to pray is he's going to praise God. Did you get that? He's going to praise Him. He says, O God of my father Abraham, O God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, now we've gone from the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac to personalizing the relationship that he has with him. And he calls him Jehovah. He says, Jehovah. He identifies him not just as a deity, but he identifies him as Jehovah God that had revealed himself to Abraham and Isaac and had revealed himself to Jacob as well. And he says, you are the God. You are the Lord. You know, we've probably had this conversation before, and maybe you've thought about this as well. It's one thing to recognize God as a deity. It's another thing entirely to recognize Him as your Lord. Do we get that? That's where a lot of people have a problem today. They recognize maybe that there is a God, but they don't recognize Him as their Lord, their ruler. And so here, Jacob recognizes him as his leader. You are my ruler. You are my God. You are the one who said to me, return to your country, to your kindred, that I may do you good. And that's exactly what I'm doing. I praise you because I know that you are going to lead me in the right way. And you are deserving of praise. You are the God of God, and you are the Lord of my life. Now, have we said that to God lately? Have you said that to Him in your prayer? Have you said, God, you are God and you are the Lord of my life and I'm going to allow you to lead me wherever it is that you want me to go. If you want me to go back to my country, if you want me to go do something that would be beneficial in helping other people, whatever it is that you want me to do with my life, I want to listen to your word, to your recommendation, and I want to follow it. Is He the Lord of your life, and do you give Him the praise that He deserves? The first thing that Jacob did was offer praise to God. I think about that, and I call our attention to a couple of passages of Scripture in Psalms. Psalm 65, beginning here in that particular passage, says in verse 1, praise is due to you, O God, in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. When iniquities prevail against me, you atone for our transgressions. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. Beginning in chapter 66, verse 1, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies came cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Here, when we think about Jacob, as he is coming face to face with a potential disaster in his life, he offers to God the praise that God deserves. Number two, he offers thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. We go back to our passage of Scripture, and we think about verse 10. He says, I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love, and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever express that to God? Do you ever say, God, I recognize your great steadfast love. And I realize that I'm not worthy of the least of it. But I'm so grateful that you've given it to me. He thanks God for loving him when he didn't deserve that love. And he also thanks him for the physical blessings that he had provided for him while he was gone. He says, you know, I crossed this Jordan River and all I crossed with was a staff. You know why he crossed with a staff? Because he was on the run. His brother wanted to kill him. It was time to get out of Dodge and get out of Dodge quick. So he took off when his mama said, you get out of here. He got out of there and he says, I only crossed the Jordan River with my staff. And now I'm coming back and I have two camps. I have two different types of families. I've got all of this wealth and every bit of it is because of you. You have been with me. You have made promises to me and I'm not worthy of your love and your mercy and your grace. But I'm so grateful for it. So grateful. Do we thank God enough for the many blessings that He provides for us in our life? I'm going to turn to Psalm 138. Psalm 138, and we'll look at just a few things here in this particular passage. David begins by saying, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Thanksgiving. So very thankful to God. You know, that's what we're told by Paul to do. If we turn over to the book of Colossians, we think about the passage of Scripture there, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. We're told to give thanks, whatever it is. Give thanks to God. He says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him, through Jesus Christ. So I hope that as you are praying to God, not only are you offering praise to Him, but I hope that you're offering thanksgiving as well. Next, Jacob's beautiful prayer included intercession. Intercession. Turn back to Genesis chapter 32. Notice verse 11. Listen to what he has to say. He says, please, please, please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me, the mothers with the children. Please. In other words, what is he doing there? He's begging that God would intercede. Jacob recognized something, and it's something that we need to recognize in our lives as well. Jacob recognized that he was not going to survive. He was not going to be able to accomplish the things that he needed to accomplish or was hoping to accomplish unless God went with him. That's it. There's no way that Jacob and whoever it was that he had with him on this occasion could withstand Esau and 400 men if they had come out to destroy him, to defeat him. There's nothing he could do with it. The only thing that he could do at this point is to beg that God would be with him and that God would deliver him, that God would intercede on his behalf. And the sooner that we realize that we're not ever going to be able to accomplish anything in this world unless Jesus is on our side, and we're never going to be able to attain heaven and reach that goal, that prize that we're striving for, unless it's through Jesus Christ, unless it's through the Lord, it's not going to happen. We can't do it by ourselves. You know, we sing a song sometime. That song is entitled, Had It Not Been the Lord, who was what? Who was on our side. Had it not been the Lord, who was on our side, we would not have survived. We would surely have died. So the only way for us to survive is if we turn to God for help. And we ask Him to intercede on our behalf. That's what David did in Psalm 51, 1 and 3. You'll know this as the penitential psalm. But notice what David has to say here in this particular psalm to God. After the realization of the horrible sin that he had committed when it came to Bathsheba and when it came to Uriah the Hittite. Verses 1 through 3. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. The only one that could wash him clean was God. That's it. Jacob realized the only way for him to have salvation, the only way for him to have salvation in this moment of crisis was if God interceded on his behalf. And the only way for us to have salvation is through Jesus Christ. Had it not been for his interceding on our behalf, there would be no salvation. There would be no survival. And so as we are praying, let's think about the praise that is deserving for God, and the thanksgiving that we need to give. And let's think about the intercession. Let's ask Him to forgive us of our sin. I think about Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, and as Jesus is speaking to His Father there on that occasion, and as He's looking at the crowds of folks who have just nailed Him to a cross, He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Prayer of intercession. He's interceding for us today as well. And then finally, Jacob's beautiful prayer included supplication. Now, if you go back and you study the words for intercession and supplication, they're not very different. In fact, they're similar in a lot of ways, but I think that there are some slight things that we can talk about and that we can discuss. Here in intercession, Jacob is asking for God to step in on his behalf, that he knows that there's nothing that he can do, that he's got to have God's help. But we come to verse 12, but you said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Now, he is making a request, this supplication. He's calling to remembrance the promise that God has made for him and asking that he fulfill that promise. There's a plea here, a plea on his behalf. We think about Romans chapter 10 and verse 1 and the supplication there of the Apostle Paul. He says, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is what? That they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal, but not unto knowledge. You know, Paul's like, the supplication is that my heart's desire, my prayer, my hope, my want is that my countrymen, my brethren, will see the truth of God's Word and that they will be saved, that they will not continue down the path that will lead them to condemnation, but to the path that will lead them to eternal life. That plea. I think about Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, noticing verses 18 and 19, again, we have the Apostle Paul speaking. It says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Here's Paul saying, here's the supplication that I want you to offer on my behalf. I want you to offer this supplication in your prayer that I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. That when I open my mouth to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. I'm not going to hold back, but I'm going to deliver the message that the people there need to hear. And I want you to make that request, that petition, that supplication to God on my behalf. The supplication. Earlier it says, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We need to be thinking about others and praying for others. Certainly, as Jacob was praying this prayer, he was thinking about other people as well. And certainly you can understand when you think about this concept, prayer in the face of death, what was he thinking about? He's thinking about his life, but he's also thinking about his family. His family. He knew that his brother was coming. He was afraid that he would attack him and that he would attack his wives and his children. He's making supplication on their behalf as well. As you see, because he says, I know that you have said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. I know that you said you were going to be with my children also. So he's making supplication. Prayer in the face of death. When Jacob thought about it, when he knelt down in prayer in the face of death, his prayer was a prayer of praise, a prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer of intercession, and a prayer of supplication. And I hope that as we enter into our prayer life, that we will include these things as well. That we will take a cue from Jacob and take a cue from others that have offered prayer. That we'll pray like this, and that we'll take advantage of every opportunity to pray. Don't just wait until there may be some crisis in your life. Redeem the time now. Now is the opportunity for you to begin praying and developing that relationship with God. Don't only do it in those times, but pray all the time. Scriptures record that we should pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. Take advantage of it. And when you think about prayer, make sure that you're including these elements, these components that Jacob was including in his. Praise, thanksgiving, intercession, and supplication. You know, Paul writes about that. If you go to Timothy and you look at verse 2 of the epistle there, beginning in verse 1, he talks about that he wants prayer and supplication, thanksgiving to be made for all men. Intercession. Make sure that you're praying that for all men. And so let's make sure that we're incorporating these things in our prayer life as well. This evening, if you need to respond to the invitation, maybe you've been thinking about your life tonight a little bit and you recognize your need for Jesus Christ. We know that Jacob recognized his need for the Lord on this occasion. Maybe you recognize your need for the Lord right now. So if you need to respond to the invitation, you need to become a Christian, we want to invite you to do that, encourage you to do that. And if you need to make things right with Him, you need to pray this evening that God will forgive you of your sins and help you in your walk with Him. And we stand ready to assist you. We offer you this opportunity while we stand and sing.